you achieved over the last few years?
Sure. It's, I think that, you know, the overarching, discussion or the major benefit is that, we've, achieved the bottom line result is that, we've been able to, sell more of our standard product. We've increased the intellectual property of all of our territories that we're selling to in the lower 48. But we've been able to grow our sales 30 to 40% since your visit in September of 2013. And now we've methodically changed from a serendipitous process to a driven sales process that we fully feel in charge of.
So an increase of 30 to 40%, is that trivial or non-trivial?
That's wildly significant for us, especially with the level of profitability that's associated with it. So we've been able to, like I said, be able to grow our standard products, along with discovering some people that we're doing more custom machines with, and that have been some great projects for us.
Terrific. And what sort of, I don't want the viewers to think, oh, well, this is probably, if they've seen a 30 to 40% growth, this is probably a startup. They were probably doing $10 a month in sales previously. I know you don't want to disclose too many figures, but can you give the viewer some understanding of the scale of the business before we get to the detail?
Yeah, well, we've been in business since 1984, and so a very established business. And, you know, we're projecting a significant year in 2016, along with going in with a backlog that is a historical largest backlog that we've gone into 2016.
Well, I mean, that sounds good from all angles. So you're on track to double the headcount, but obviously that's not at the expense of profitability.
Exactly.
And you've also grown your backlog. So that looks good from all angles. I'm sure everyone's keen to find out exactly how you did it.
Sure.
So do you want to start by telling us a little bit about OrbitForm?
OrbitForm makes, we design and manufacture forming and fastening equipment along with conveyor systems. We have a real mantra here, which is all under one roof. Our controls engineers, our electrical engineers, and our mechanical engineers are all on site. The owner of the business, Mike Shirky, has reinvested into the business nonstop, that's allowed us to be able to bring processes onto our footprint. And so our machine shop, we machine 90 to 95% of the machine components that go into our design systems are machined right on our footprint. We're doing more fab work on our footprint, and we have all our machine builders, electricians and mechanical builders that are all on our footprint. So there's very little that we do outside the walls. And we feel that's a critical success factor from a standpoint of we have control over it. And so, but on the sales front, what has been really exciting is, you know, I know that in September of 2013, the process is Ballistics, and we renamed it Orbistics because to have an OrbitForm name to it. But really, by the Division of Labor, we've invested ahead of time to go out and make a difference in those territories. We used to see between 1 and 200 customers face-to-face.
Yeah, so let's stop there. Let's talk about the structure of the so we can dig into sales. That's great. But let's first talk about the structure of sales, how it used to be before we started work here.
Yeah.
Because obviously then I'm keen to talk about how you've restructured it and how the new structure performs. But let's start with what it was.
Well, it's the traditional model. We had our regional sales managers that and VP of sales that had territories directly reporting to them with manufacturing reps in all of those territories. And they managed that process, and you know, you coined something that has stuck with me quite well is that, you know, a great manufacturing rep in a territory can make you money. And we actually do have some really good world-class manufacturing reps that get it. And, but if you have one that's not prospecting and not increasing the intellectual property of the territory, then that person actually, you know, has an opportunity cost to you. And so that was the channel to market. We had the full United States, Canada, and Mexico covered with manufacturing reps. And then we had, they reported into the regional sales managers. And it was, it seemed to serve well, you know, because that was the only model. And this is just a new way.
And your regional sales managers were how many of them did you have?
Well, we had the VP of sales and two regional sales managers. And they were responsible for all of the tasks associated with the head end of the business. That meant that they created marketing and branding information that was sent out to the territories and managed all of that. They managed when we would get a quote, they would actually do all of the quoting and for their territories. And also they would do their sales calls, of course, but everything else that, and even be pulled into some project program management after the machine was
and
built.
Went out in the field and visited with manufacturers reps.
Yes.
They were heavily burdened, everything from marketing to visiting manufacturers reps to getting to rolling up their sleeves and getting involved in opportunities. That's a big load. And you had just three of them covering the whole of North America.
Yes, that's a true statement.
So each what did you call them again? Was it regional managers?
Regional sales manager, RSMs.
So each RSM was responsible for typically how many manufacturers reps?
Well, I'll say, that's a good question. Probably in the neighborhood of, eight manufacturing reps, firms. Mm-hmm. There was 40 or 50 actual individuals.
Mm-hmm. So I think you guys engaged with us many years ago. Probably you told me before it was probably close to 10 years ago. What was the year, the very first time?
2007. Yeah. Yes. We had a great big, I've been at Orbiform since 2000 and I can remember the event. It was out at the, a room upstairs in a local, country club area. And, we had probably 20, 25 people that were there and, we just kind of dipped our toe in the water.
Yeah. You had a manufacturer's rep there too.
Yes.
I don't think I'd even emigrated to the States. I think I was still living in Australia at the time.
You were.
You guys were one of our very first, one of the very first organizations we worked with in the U.S. I remember, you know, driving to Jackson, I think from Detroit Airport and arriving at a room. It was like a seminar room in a country club with all of these people sitting there waiting for enlightenment.
Right.
So I don't know how much you want to talk about what happened after that first visit. I'm particularly interested in what happened after the second workshop. Is there anything notable that transpired?
Yeah, I think what was notable is that I was made president in 2008. And so that was a change where sales now reported directly to me in that venue. And we took a stab at having an applications group, which, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't full-fledged. I'm pretty excited about September of 2013 because just 3 months prior to that, we had created and launched our own, CRM process and, program. probably on the likes of Salesforce.com, but probably 60 to 70% capability of that, but it was it's proven to be 90 to 95% usable. So very easy to use, very pull out information. It's a great sales tool that we can go out and hunt when we see 30 to 40 customers or prospects in a week. It's very well laid out and very efficient.
And I think you guys were starting on that when I met you for the first time, and it had progressed a fair bit when I saw you the second time. So talk to me about the workshop and the decisions that we made in that one-day workshop the second time.
Well, it was actually, I think it was two 10-hour day workshops.
That's right, because we went out for ribs the end of the first day.
Yeah. I think probably the biggest, one of the bigger things that happened was is the kind of the all in, you know, type mentality that took over. And you walked us through showing the design of how our having our RSMs in the office and how that rotation could work, and then also big discussions on division of labor.
Yeah.
And right at that, we had already kind of committed, because that same day I had hired, or there was two people that joined us to be the FAST, which is the field activity support team. And the first day you were there was their first day also. So we kind of had already committed to going.
You were planning on partnering them up with RSMs.
We did. And you told us at that time that that'd be a horrible decision, because and that proved out to be true, because we didn't do it that way. We had them where they service the whole sales group. And so that kind of broke our thinking there. And they would set up trips across the regional sales managers, so nobody was assigned to anybody at that.
So let me explain to the viewer what happened there, and you can correct me if my memory fails me. So I think that you guys, like a lot of people, had read the machine and had very much taken to the idea of partnering salespeople with executive assistants or sales coordinators, as we used to call them. We call them business development coordinators now. But when I got speaking with you and your team, it became obvious that your salespeople were predominantly inside salespeople. And when we talked to them about this idea of either being inside or being outside, I think that intellectually everyone was comfortable with it, but practically it was clear that it was a non-starter. It wasn't going to be possible to point at somebody and say, you're going to be in the field full time, having four meetings a day, 5 days a week, and the rest of you are going to be 100% inside.
Right.
So we came up with we recognized that primarily yours was an inside sales team, and we recognized therefore that it didn't really make sense to have inside salespeople and pair them up with executive assistants. Because the whole role of an executive assistant is to allow a salesperson to be outside. So we ended up coming up with a model that I'll let you describe. But before I do, have you managed to get your hands on a copy of the machine yet?
You sent me a PDF file, and I've read about 5 or 6 chapters.
Okay, so after we finish here, I'll jump on Amazon and I will send you a copy of the book. It came out last week. So there it is there.
Awesome. Copy.
But what I wanted to show you is inside.
Make sure that you sign the front page.
I will sign the front page for it. Well, I'll send it from here and I'll sign the front page. So inside here, I don't know if I can get the camera to focus on it.
There it is.
It may
the closer not, it is, the better.
Yeah. Yep. So there's actually a picture of the model that we built, that we conceptualized with you, at that workshop. And even though we didn't work hands-on with you building it, we've actually worked with a couple of organizations since and built the same basic model with other organizations subsequently. And I think in the book I tell it's a blend of a couple of stories, the story of a couple of organizations, but it's primarily yours. I refer to the organization as Madison, but it's orbit form. I think 90% that I'm talking about in there. So we had this dilemma because you had senior, very capable salespeople who really wanted to do a mix of inside and out. It's something we wouldn't normally be comfortable with. And we came up with a hybrid approach. Do you want to describe what that approach was?
Well, we, our people, have what it's boiled down to over the last 24 months has been where we have manufacturer reps that still report to the RSMs, some. We've terminated some exclusivity contracts, and the RSM, that same RSM, has territories that are direct territories. And we have the, so they go out for a week, and that is all set up by a field activity support team member and in concert with the RSM. And we're seeing anywhere from 10 to 14 firm fixed appointments. And then we're lining up another 10 that are high likelihoods, or people said, yes, if you're in the area, stop in and make sure we see it. And then we get another 10 or 12 of pure prospecting that occurs at the time that they're out.
Okay.
So each person is seen having somewhere in the neighborhood. Remember I said we were doing, prior to ballistics or abistics, we were seeing 150 a year. Each RSM is now seeing having 350 face-to-face contacts in a year.
Okay, so previously they used to organize their own field trips, I think we called them. But what's changed now is they've switched to being primarily inside salespeople. They work inside, like true inside salespeople, with headsets on, I hope.
Yes.
Talking on the phone all day long, prosecuting their opportunities. But then in the background, we have a team of field support people who plan a field trip for them. So I'm guessing they pencil onto the calendar. You guys pencil onto the calendar as a group when you want each of the RSMs to go on a trip. And then those trips are planned, booked, and populated with meetings by the field support team.
Right.
So then when one of your RSMs hangs up their headset and goes out in the field, they've got a solid week of meetings to perform.
Yes. Yes, and it's between, depending on how many firm fix, it's between 25 and 40 customers or prospects and customers that they're seeing. I think something that's been real, we're a technical sale. What we found in the whole process is, and in 2014, we had a meeting with all of our manufacturer reps, and we told them that, you know, the world was changing. And, we described that what used to be, a high performing manufacturer rep, let's just say that that's 100%. Now that historical view of the manufacturer rep went to 66% or 2/3. And the final third to be, in Orbitform's eyes, a phenomenal manufacturing rep is somebody that's able to use the SRSC and able to prospect for Orbitform. And some people, I will admit, have gotten it. And I look at it and I sit there and say they've risen to the occasion. Some manufacturing rep firms have decided that that's not their business model. And so we've moved away from exclusivity more towards finder's fee.
Yeah.
And then we've taken the territory direct.
Okay. So can you talk about when your field activity team's planning a field trip for one of the RSMs, and let's assume they've got a week all planned out and it's a great looking week. Can you give us an insight into what the breakdown of activities would likely look like for that week?
Sure. Well, when we, like I said, so that's put into the SRSC. They both have agreed to it. You know, there's nothing that's done that the RSM, you know, isn't going to be signed up for. Also, it's logically set up so that it's a very efficient traveling. So we're not jumping people around a state or anything. It's all set up so that it's all like somebody would normally do or travel through a territory, and they can have the most efficiency. So when you start to look at 25 on the low side of visits, we're hitting 5 a day.
Wow.
So at least. And so our, there might be a, go into a place that's a firm fixed, setup or order, or appointment, and we'll get a plant tour. Probably we'll talk to technical people. That high value added, visit or appointment might take upwards of 2 hours.
And are you with the manufacturer's rep, or is the RSM by themselves, or is it a mixture of two, both?
It's a mixture of two, especially when we have the manufacturer, RSM has the territory direct. So when they have it direct, they're not traveling with a manufacturing rep because it's an orbit form territory.
Yeah.
So,
but if you have a rep, then they'll probably travel with the rep?
Probably. We've had some incidences where but it's on the lower side. Like I said, the people that are the manufacturing reps that are with us now are highly engaged. One manufacturing rep had a principal list of somewhere in the neighborhood of a dozen to 14 principals. He made the announcement that he was a single entity for his manufacturing firm or his rep firm, and he went to 4 principals.
Mm.
I think he saw this as a good way to go and our investment that we were making, and he's having a banner year this year.
Excellent.
So.
Excellent. Your RSM in that trip is making calls on potential and existing customers, in some cases by themselves, if you look after that territory directly, or more commonly, or most likely, if there's a manufacturer's rep in that region, your RSM is making calls with a rep from the manufacturer's rep.
Yes.
And are there any other types of visits that occur? Do they go and spend time in the manufacturer's rep's offices doing training or anything like that?
No, that really isn't they're pretty much, you know, there's a high intensity to try to be on the road. So we've really, I think, hewed down, and with the Division of Labor, we've taken off all these ancillary things.
Yeah.
And so they're basically prospecting and closing.
Excellent. So when they do those 25 visits, they're actually in front of customers or driving to be in front of customers 100% of the time.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. I think there's two major things. One thing, the uniqueness of Orbitform is that we have, for forming and fastening, we have 6 or 7 different ways to do that process. And our competitors, on our orbital product line, they'll just focus. If you go to them with a forming or fastening application, our orbital competitors, you'll go away with an orbital solution, whereas we have the unbiased approach.
Yeah.
So we have all of these processes under one roof, and so we don't really care which process you choose because we want the best solution.
Yeah.
And we have a lab on site that we basically test things out, do prototypes, you know, where we can actually make that a physical determination of what's the best process.
Yeah, so let's talk about your RSMs when they're inside. Are they still up to their elbows in the technical elements of the opportunities? For example, are they still writing proposals?
No, only when there's an overflow. Instead of them being the first line of that's part of their job, now we beefed up. We used to have one person, maybe 2 people in proposals, and now we have 5.
Wow.
we're at an all-time high.
Have more than five, because it probably doesn't make sense for writing proposals to overflow into sales.
Right. So it's, we're, you know, it's a, we can design the best systems we want, but then, you know, all of a sudden we've been, we're at an all-time high in quoting. So, and it's a technical business, and so we've been adding people in that arena. And what's happening is that those people, the new additions in that, are working their way through. And as we grow our RSMs, because we're going to be adding one or two more RSMs, so that we can take deeper dives into territories, we think we've probably got another 3 to 4 years of discovery of everybody that can use our processes that we have. So, so now we have a, we actually have a designed process to grow and train RSMs internally. But while they're doing that, they're filling the role of the quoting process. And, when our RSMs come in off the road, they're making sure that all of the information is in the SRSC. Then there's also a big deluge of lab samples that they manage to some degree, but it is a handoff. We hand it off to the lab, but we want to make sure that it's correct and everything goes well there.
So tell me about your field activity team. I think you've got two people in that team. They're two fairly young, enthusiastic people from memory.
Right.
How busy are they to get these field trips booked? And do they enjoy that work?
It's a solid 8 hours a day, for those people. They, with our SRSC, we can see, people that are getting our information. So some really higher, we have it ranked into higher, value, or the believability that we can get somebody, or get an appointment. And then when they get it pretty well booked up with fixed firms, then they go after the prospecting. And we've done a lot of research in the territories. Like I said, the deeper dives into the, territories, our intellectual property since, 2013 is just grown dramatically. Mm-hmm. So we're not pressured to, find, or to look for things that we can, or people that we can call and stuff. We have scripts that we try to get past the receptionist.
Yes.
And to get that appointment and that kind of stuff. So they've been trained or getting trained in that process to work our way through that. And, we just recently hired a marketing research person that also is feeding in information into the SRSC that makes it more higher value-added candidates for the trips.
Yeah, and I'm guessing the SRSCs, they work on each trip together?
Yes, the RSM and the field activity support team member work on it together.
Oh, no, I mean, you have two SRSCs. They both work on the same trip at the same time.
No, when we got the five people, soon to be six, we felt that it was for individual accountability. So there's a rotation process.
Yeah.
And so that person has a trip that they have to plan. And so we email blast. We also have our people that we're going to go visit. And here's something else that we discovered that was pretty monumental for us is that we have in excess, somewhere around 1,500 customers that we've sold equipment to or, done something with. And when we were only going out and seeing 133 FaceTime engagements, well, obviously we had customers out there that we weren't seeing.
Yeah.
So we're tracking 1,800 CFEs, but we want to have 500 of those CFEs be previous customers. Because what better person to sell to? And that was something that was totally untapped before Orbistix. It was totally off our radar. And, I think almost a cavalier, well, they bought from us. They should know us in that time. No. You go in, you get a plant tour, you look at the place from orbit form eyes, and next thing you know, we're coming away with applications.
Yeah, that's excellent. My final question, I guess, is that when I ran that two-day workshop, and it was definitely 2 days because I remember the ribs, and what I remember about the ribs is the apprehension while we were having ribs. And I felt for your RSMs because I think just that day, a couple of the assistants, the young assistants had started, and they thought they were going to be their executive assistants, which they were excited about, and they were ready to get them groomed. And then as a result of the workshop, they discovered that they were going to be snatched away from them and put in, I think you called it a bullpen at the time.
Yes.
To focus on planning these field trips for the team. So they were a little apprehensive about that. So my question is, after living through this change and living in this new environment for a little while, would any of them want to put it back to the way that it was previously?
Absolutely not. They would not want to be in that arena at all with a executive assistance for an RSM. So this has worked out, and we're actually, 2016, we're going to go into a mode of best practices for trip planning. And we're looking at all our previous information from you. I want to read it in the machine. And we're going to pull from all different ways, and we're going to sit there and, from our own standpoint in the product line that we're selling, we're going to come up with a formulated best practices for being able to do that.
Terrific. So this has been great, Phil. A couple of things that I want to mention. The first is that obviously I have run a couple of workshops with you and your team, but we have not assisted with the implementation of this at all. I mean, in most cases, organizations work with us, and I love opportunities to interview organizations that have done it themselves. And the reason I love to interview organizations that have done it themselves is because it proves that it is possible for organizations to do it themselves, and not just to scrape through, but to produce significant, I think you said wildly significant increases in revenue and profitability were your words at the beginning there. So I think that's awesome. The other thing that I wanted, go ahead, Phil.
Well, I just wanted to, a shout out to you from a standpoint of, I think you challenged us from a standpoint of, are you all in or are you just going to do it for window dressing? And I think stepping up to the plate and understanding what all in means. And, one is that you have to add temporarily the OE to, because you got to believe.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. You have to believe because.
By OE, you mean operating expense.
Yes, operating expense. Because it's, but then what happened was that then we started to work the machine. And, like I said before, it's totally a driven process. You're not left up to serendipitous, or you're not left up to interlopers to, make the deal for you. We actually had a plant meeting the other day, a week ago today, and I stood up in front of everybody, and everything's going well right now. We've got it. We've actually had to add to operations because of the loads that we've had. But we feel like the process is so rock solid that I talked about the possibility in the future that there could be a downturn in the economy. I mean, it's happened all the time and stuff. And I said, what do companies normally do in a downturn? And everybody to a man said, well, companies lay off. And I said, well, that's the traditional response, but we will hold that far as a tertiary action for ourselves, because between 5 to 15 of us are going to learn the ways to sell, and we're going to go on the road. Coupled with your BISTIX process and our SRSC, I think that we have a secret sauce process that sits there and says that we'll be able to drive through any downturn in the economy.
That's interesting. I don't know if you ever read the book that heralded the lean manufacturing.
James Womack?
Yes. What was his book called?
Just Lean. I think it's just Lean.
Yeah. So he talked about, and I've never heard this quoted in the lean literature, but he talked about the fact that Toyota traditionally, if sales dipped, they would pull people out of the plant and send them out into the field to visit with customers in their homes and sell them cars. Yeah. They were so committed to maintaining, to use TOC terminology, they were so committed to maintaining the constraint in production that they would not allow the production backlog to diminish beyond a certain point. And if it looked like it was going to, it was all hands on deck. Everyone, you know, became a salesperson. And in the model that you've built there, you know, it would be relatively simple to plug another person in. You know, you could add one of your engineers and say, look, we've booked a week of field trips for you. Everything's done. You just got to, you know, fly to the airport, get a rental car and do those meetings.
And that, I feel like we have unlimited capacity on the head end of the business to be able to make those type of decisions and that type of activity. So the team, they actually see it as a security that, okay, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go out and sell. We're not going to be laid off.
Yeah, that's excellent. One other thing I want to mention, let me look at the book here. I just wanted to see where, so for viewers who are watching and want to go and read, now I'm not going to promise that this is 100% your story because I went to some trouble to change some of the details just to protect, and I deliberately changed the names of organizations because if I changed the names, I could share more. But, it's close enough. So on page 100 and I'm going blind.
I think it's 101.
Page 101. You're absolutely correct. Also, you found it already. Yeah. On page 101, the subheading is rules are sometimes for breaking. And there's a story there of Madison. And you could substitute, I think, Madison for Orbit Form and it wouldn't be too far wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except it doesn't talk in here about the, what was the word that you used?
Orbistics?
No, the increase in revenues. So I said, is it trivial?
Oh, and you it's wildly significant.
Wildly significant. So that's a good note to end on. If we were together having a scotch right now, I would be toasting wild significance with you. Congratulations on what you've done, Phil.
Well, we, with all sincerity, we appreciate the, eye-opening adventure that we've had with you and your team. And, I honestly feel that it's actually liberating. It's liberating from a standpoint of, that a driven organization can have control of their future versus, the whims of the economy or serendipitous sales. So that's where we're at.
Well, congratulations and thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks.
All the best, Phil.
All the best.